This is Dawn from Plainfield, and this episode is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. If you love the Cubs, beer, strong marginal analysis, internet muscle flexes, and the occasional chicken, this is the podcast for you. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. Opening day is just a week away, and on this episode, we're going to look ahead to that game. Will Jake Arrieta be able to start? We are back from our trip to Mesa for Cubs spring training. We'll recap what we saw out there. And although there's a number of games left in spring training, we'll kind of put a bow on spring training 2016. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and we are broadcasting live tonight on Blab, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy
and Kurt.
If you didn't listen to our last episode, check that out. It was much more of a casual conversation. I think if somebody like that was their first exposure to our podcast, they probably wondered what in the world they walked into. But what you did walk into was a casual conversation between us and Danny Rocket and Michael from Colorado from the Sun Ranto podcast. We were in Arizona for spring training. Hanging out with them, among other people. And listener Chris Bonner from Southern California, his friend Kyle. I think that was the first. I thought maybe Kyle was the first Dodgers fan that we've had on the podcast, but we have had another Dodgers fan on the podcast. But that was fun. So how does it feel to be back into real life, fellas?
I still don't feel like I'm back into real life since I don't go back to work until tomorrow. But the tomorrow reality comes back.
Yeah, real life has smacked me right in the face already. So I'm over the real life adjustment.
I don't like it. I go back to work tomorrow too, Andy, and I'm very concerned that I'm not going to be able to pull this thing off because I had zero energy today. I don't know if it's like this 3 to 4 week sickness that finally caught up with me. I don't know if it was 2 days straight on the road. You know, Andy, you've done, so for anybody that didn't know this, Andy and I both drove our families to spring training and back. Andy, last year we did it all in one day. Do you think that it's easier to just do a straight shot 24, 25 hours, just blast it? Is it easier to do that or is it easier to do 2 days?
I think almost the one day because I think I was the same amount of tired.
Yeah.
After the 2 day drive as I was after the 1 day. So,
yeah,
I think maybe the 1 day, although it's maybe a little bit more dangerous.
That's true. That's how I feel. I think it's almost easier to just do it in a day. You do it in 2 days and it feels like you've done two full days in the car. It's brutal. And yes. On the way home, we did not make it to our planned destination Friday night or Saturday night because we drove into a blizzard, which was ridiculous. We've been watching the weather all week. Tawny looked the night before. It said she looked at like all these different towns on our route and it said, you know, cloudy skies or whatever. And we drove into a freaking blizzard. Could not see a thing. Crazy. Like, and it was on a 2-lane road that a lot of semis use. And it was, I don't really get scared when I drive, especially weather doesn't really bother me. And I was white knuckling it. And it was scary.
Yeah, did you see you saw my screenshot I took of the radar of all of North America? And I think there were two weather spots. One was like way up in, you know, like Minnesota, which, you know, you kind of expect. And then there's one little spot down in Texas right where you were.
Oh,
and all of the rest of North America was completely clear.
It was brutal. And then like we pulled into Dalhart, Texas. It's up in the panhandle. And we got the last hotel room in the entire town. And there's no other towns anywhere close. And while I was checking in, these girls were telling me they were driving from Minnesota down to, or no, they were coming through Colorado and going into New Mexico, and their roads got closed. And Dalhart, Texas was the closest hotel room they could find. She's like, I mean, it had to have been like 6 hours out of their way or something. It was crazy. It was
At that point, you sleep in your car.
Well, that's what we were going to do. We were just going to like pull over and sleep in the car because what else do you do? Just, man, it was brutal. And I'm not impressed. I would be happy if I never drove through Dalhart, Texas again.
CWTX at CWTX in the chat. So it calls Dalhart a nightmare. So,
oh man,
he knows. I think that must be from Texas.
There was. I don't know. I could turn this into a 30-minute story, but I won't. But I'll just say that our hotel room was not pleasant. Was not particularly clean or anything. The power didn't work, and we didn't have any heat. So. It was
the car was a better option,
pretty much. Yeah, it sucked, and we had to pay for the hotel room that we couldn't get to because, yeah, good times, fun stuff. okay, so a week from right now, we will be getting ready to watch the Cubs take on the Angels out in Anaheim. A few days ago, it looked like Jake Arrieta may be questionable to start that game, but I guess everything's good. Is that right, Andy?
Yeah, apparently everything's good. You know, he only pitched one third of an inning on Thursday's, you know, in Thursday's crazy win against the Giants due to a blister on his right thumb. That game was kind of hilarious because people excited about the pitching matchup were really down after the first inning, but then it ended up being a pretty crazy and exciting game to be at, apparently. But,
on that topic, like it was, you know, Arrieta Bumgarner on ESPN Thursday night. And we skipped that game because the tickets were pricey. And then, you know, I was really bummed that we weren't able to go because of that matchup. And then both starters looked terrible. And then I was glad I didn't go. And then the Cubs ended up winning 16-14. And then I was kind of bummed I didn't go.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it seemed like it would have been a pretty fun game to be at, just generally speaking. It had everything, and we'll talk about the whole potential sign stealing later on, I guess. But I can't help but think about when Kerry Wood had the blister on his finger back in 2008. Do you guys remember Kerry Wood was the closer of the Cubs in 2008?
I don't remember that. That's when his blister was. I thought it was like before that.
No, it was 08, and so the Cubs were left with potential Carlos Marmol / Bob Howry closer closing tandem, I guess, and Kerry Wood was sidelined for over a month with that blister. So I couldn't help but think about that and being pretty worried about the situation, but everything that the media and Madden and Arrieta are saying is helping to allay my fears. Because Arrieta did throw a successful bullpen session on Sunday. He threw 46 pitches, and he's been cleared to pitch as scheduled going forward, including Tuesday's last spring's training start and opening day. I'm kind of curious, like, I feel like maybe the Cubs, it would be good just to, I don't know, not let him do a whole lot as far as that spring training start is concerned, but teams pretty much curtail the innings of their starting pitchers and their, you know, in their last spring training starts anyway.
Right.
So I don't see him going deep into that game on Tuesday at all. But it sounds like he's good to go as far as opening day is concerned, which is great news. Even in my opinion, a guy who's a fan of John Lester. So,
no, I think it is
maybe
good.
You'll get to see that Lester start if it comes back.
I hope not.
The one reason I kind of like being able to see him one more time this spring is just for my own like sanity to know, like, if he looks good, it's like, oh, okay, everything's fine. I'll feel good about next Monday. And I think that you also want to have him pitch another time because, you know, the Cubs starters, I mean, they've gotten a lot of, I guess the top of the rotation has pitched a lot of these minor league games and side bullpen sessions and stuff like that. And, you know, you just kind of look at the innings pitched by other starters in baseball, and the Cubs numbers are, especially at the top of the rotation, are much lower. And so I think that, you know, they probably have been kind of holding things off a little bit, and then knowing that this week, the last week of spring training, is when those guys are going to go out and pitch full games, or not full games, but, you know, regular appearances or whatever. So I think it is important that he gets that in. I think just to kind of get into that, you know, every 6-7 days, whatever, he'll be out there on the mound. And so that'll kind of get him into that routine.
Yeah, it seems to jive well with his with opening day. So, yeah, hopefully we see him pitch a little on Tuesday and he looks fine and everything is normal.
Yeah, I would. I'm really. I've been in spring training mode, I guess, obviously, because we were there. But now I'm really looking forward to opening day. And I think, you know, we don't get that. I don't watch a ton of Major League Baseball games outside of the Cubs. I do watch some Angels games because they're kind of the AL team that I like. But, mm-hmm. You know, being able to see like Arrieta face Mike Trout is I'm looking forward to that. I think that game is going to be really entertaining.
Yeah, for sure.
So I guess as we kind of march towards the season, the roster will soon be, you know, taking shape here in the next week. So what's it sitting at right now, Kurt? Is it 36?
Yeah, 36 guys currently. They just made a 9-guy cut, a day or two ago? So yeah, down to 36. So, I mean, things are really kind of falling into place. It seems fairly clear what spots you're going to what guys, and no real big surprises. There is potentially some decision to be made in the bullpen, whether or not they go with 7 or 8 bullpen arms. If they go with 8, it looks like Ramirez will get that spot if he's healthy, because he doesn't have any options, and he's not a guy that you just want to like let go on waivers, because he does have some value, not a tremendous value. Amount of value, but you don't just, you know, let him fly. So, you know, other guys who've looked good are Spencer Patton and Manny Parra, but it's hard to see them, you know, taking a number 8 spot when you got Ramirez right there. So that puts your bullpen at Richard, Wood, Cahill, Warren, Grimm, Strope, Rondon, and then potentially Ramirez, I think, is what everybody kind of picks at that number 8 spot, should they go with 8 arms. Another guy, kind of the same situation with options, Matt Caesar, looks like he'll sneak in now that he's healthy. Same reasons, really, that you could use that extra outfielder, but at the same time, he doesn't have options, so you don't want to just let him go. Whether or not he sticks around long term, we'll see, but it looks like he'll probably be on the opening day roster, also because Baez is still out with that thumb injury. And that could open the door for Kawasaki, but it seems like a long shot. And that will kind of, again, hinge on whether or not they go with 7 or 8 bullpen arms. Cause you know, if you go with 8 bullpen arms, you don't have room for, that extra infielder. So, the other announcement was that, Victorino will not make the opening day roster. He's been struggling with injuries, and the Cubs did offer him to keep rehabbing in Arizona if he wants to, and then he could report to Iowa to, you know, potentially work his way back. So, you know, the bigger sort of roster questions are getting close to being sealed up.
So with Baez kind of still being injured, does that allow them to, if they put him on the DL to start the season, can that go retroactive into spring training?
I think that you can. I don't know. I'm totally off my memory here, but I think you can, but it's limited to the number of days.
Okay.
But I'd have to Google that to be sure.
So, I mean, what they could do is put Baez on the DL, maybe let him rehab. Really just, I mean, I don't know. I just don't want to see Javi go back to Iowa. I just don't want to. And
no, I don't.
I think maybe let him rehab in extended spring training or something like that. And then that kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess the flip side is like any of these things that I just kind of laid out, like they're all sort of short term solutions,
right,
and that's a good thing, you know, that there aren't a lot of big holes to fill. So I don't know. I mean, and Theo, there was a good, if you hadn't seen it, I'd go watch the, it should be on Cubs.com, the interview that Theo did with Len. And like he, they just kind of go over some potential roster moves. And he kind of said that, you know, everybody gets a little bit obsessed over the opening day 25 man. And the reality is like, that's the short term thing. And we, they look at it more as a, here's how we're starting, but it's going to change quickly.
You know, right.
Guys are coming up, going down. Guys will get traded, you know.
Right. Yeah. And playing in cold weather, it's you know, quite possible someone's going to go to the DL. It's just nice to be kind of be like worried. And really, that's been the story of this spring training, is everybody's kind of paid attention to the 23rd, 24th, 25th spot on the roster, because you're not really concerned about any other spots. It's so...
Yeah, well, I suppose that, I mean, one other sort of highlight, I guess, is that, I mean, it's a little hard to see a guy like Kawasaki play so well and then probably not get a spot. But I guess the good news is he probably earned himself a spot somewhere, because I don't see him accepting any kind of minor league assignment, because most of these minor league contracts, they have an opt out. If you don't make the club, you get to kind of do whatever you want. So my guess is he earned himself a job somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know, though. At the same time, I could maybe see him taking an assignment to Iowa, because I think if you're probably used to playing that utility role and right there on the cusp of making rosters and stuff, you know how much things can change over the course of the first 2 weeks of a season. And I don't think you let it I don't know if you necessarily like throw it away to kind of like start from scratch somewhere else and potentially end up in the same position. So
I think he does if he finds a spot where he could, you know, make the 25 man, you know, cause yeah. I think he played well enough to probably play get a lot of spot starts with another team, where the Cubs have just so many infield options. It just doesn't look like a likely.
Yeah. He was really probably one of the highlights for me in spring training. And I guess we can kind of transition this into our spring training talk. But I mean, I really kind of like, he is very entertaining to watch, and not like in a, I guess like in a like cliche, like, oh, he's the silly, you know, Japanese guy out there. It's like he plays with an enthusiasm, and I don't know how else to, I don't want to say like immaturity, because he's in the game at all times, and he's playing well. When there's not necessarily a play going on, he is having fun. Like, he looks like he's having fun out there. Now, when the ball is in play, his head is in the game.
Yeah, so I suppose you call it like kind of childlike, I guess, like a, you know, looks like a little leaguer who's really good or something. But he was impressive. I mean, I loved seeing him bat. He was really great in situational at bats, you know, when he had to throw down a bunt, and he's a really good bunter. And I kind of like the contrast of the Japanese style versus the modern, you know, power baseball, that a guy like that on your bench, I think, could be really valuable, because you know, he can put down a bunt, he can get on base, he could beat out a infield hit or whatever he needs to do. And I don't know, I really like that contrast in style. So,
well, he can put down a bunt. It seemed like he did a really good job of working counts and taking good at bats. But then again, I mean, I think he hit two doubles while we were out there too. And it wasn't, I mean, they were, you know, good gap hits, but he's got such great speed. I mean, I think that speed would be very valuable on the base paths too.
With that all said, it doesn't look too good for him.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, guys like that had to have known, signing a minor league deal with the Cubs, that they're so stacked that their odds were pretty low, which is a little bit surprising that they had so many of those. But, you know, I guess thankfully, you know, knock on wood, that the Cubs had a good roster, and they were able to avoid a lot of injuries. So,
yeah, I think if you have the opportunity to be a part of the team that has the most buzz in baseball and has, you know, World Series odds like they do, I would think that you might be willing to take an assignment that probably isn't ideal and not exactly what you want to be doing, but knowing that, you know, I am right there. I'm like the 26th guy, and all it takes is one thing, and I'm going to, you know, have my opportunity. So, to be on the team. So I don't know. I could see it going both ways, I guess. Andy, do you have anything to say about Kawasaki?
No, I just love to watch him, and I would love it if he made the team. But it's cool that, I mean, we have a lot of these players like Kawasaki that are depth, you know, and that's, you know, that's our the thing. If that's the thing we're worried about, you know, then that's a good place to be in. So
right, yeah. So for the rest of this episode, we'll be sharing some of our thoughts on what we saw in Mesa over the last week. Before we get to that, though, next week is our annual season prediction episode. And we go through and share our predictions and our over-unders on different Cubs team stats and player stats. We've already started getting some suggestions sent into us. So if you have a stat or something that you would like for us to predict, then you can email them to me, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at ivmv.com. And really, this is the first episode. We're kind of ramping things up for the 2016 season. This is our eighth season of podcasting on Cubs baseball, and it's something that we really enjoy doing, and we want to thank you for listening every week and engaging with us. And if you enjoy what we do here, there's a couple things you could do for us. First off, just tell your friends that are Cubs fans about our podcast. If they don't listen to any other podcast, maybe show them on their phones how to subscribe, or you could have them download the free IVMV iOS or Android app. And another thing that you can do, and this really helps us a lot, is you could leave us reviews in iTunes. And you can do it from the iOS native podcast app, or you can do it in iTunes on your computer. iTunes uses this, I guess, mysterious algorithm to rank podcasts. And if you search Cubs or Chicago Cubs in iTunes, we're right up there towards the top. CubsCast is first. And anybody that's listened to Cubs podcasts for a long time knows that they're kind of the godfathers of Cubs podcasting. At least I see them that way. And they haven't released an episode in like 5 years or something. So, I don't know. How about helping us, a current Cubs podcast, jump into that spot? I would love to be in that spot and have this podcast be there. Seems reasonable, I guess, you know, to have an active podcast there instead of one that was from 5 years ago that was awesome in its time. And, you know, I think kind of influenced all of the Cubs podcasts that now exist. But so, yeah, you can do that by writing us a review in iTunes. And here's a little incentive. Anyone that writes a review in iTunes for us between now and opening day, a week from today, Monday, will be entered into a contest to win either an IVNV t-shirt or a pint glass, whichever you would like. So, in summary, tell your friends that are Cubs fans about our podcast and write a review in iTunes, and let's enjoy the 2016 season. So, we're going to talk about what we saw in spring training this year. One thing I know is that Get in the Box really took off. Just some offhand statement I made that I wasn't sure I wanted to utter it has suddenly become the defining motto of our podcast.
Yeah, it's fun. You just take it so many different ways. That's truly good copywriting that you just did there.
That's the beauty in it. Yeah. I don't know. We had a blast out in spring training, though. We got to meet and hang out with so many awesome people that listen to our podcast. And I don't really want to try to list everyone that we hung out with because I know that I'll forget somebody and then feel like crap later. But everybody we hung out with is so much fun. And, you know, when we do these types of things and we get to meet people that listen to our podcast, I think it just like stands out how, you know, just such good people listen to our podcast. And I think that we're pretty lucky to be able to say that.
Hashtag blessed. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. You know, I'll share a slight story. Like early on when we started meeting a lot of listeners and stuff, I would always like kind of comment, like, it's a little bit, you get a little bit nervous, like, oh man, you don't know, like, what if this person's totally crazy? And I'll say I've absolutely gotten past that fear, because over the last few years when we've interacted a lot more with listeners, like, the fear has just gone away because it hasn't happened yet. So it's been great to meet everybody and hang out with people who are a lot like us.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing, is that everybody we meet, it seems like they are so much like us that it's like just kind of a natural friendship that can develop. And maybe it's that, like, they know, they hear us. Maybe the people that aren't like us wouldn't want to listen to us. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
It could be. Yeah.
But yeah, and especially doing it somewhere like spring training where everyone's kind of on vacation and everyone's kind of like in a let's have fun, let's be fun havers type of mood. So, I mean, that was just like the perfect environment for that too, and hanging out and, you know, the meetup. I had so much fun at that meetup. I had a blast, and it was, you know, cool that so many listeners were there, and there were some also, you know, Tim Sheridan was there. He's the PA announcer for the games at Sloan Park. It was awesome that Tim came and hung out pretty much the whole night, and John Arguello from Cubs Den showed up. Al from Bleed Cubby Blue was there. And it was a lot of fun. And like Danny sounds so good live. Especially when he was like, you know, he wrote all those songs, you know, as like to the backing music and stuff. And he said he was going to play it on, you know, play it live on guitar. And I was kind of curious how that would turn out. And I thought it was awesome. I thought his songs were hilarious and he does such a good job at performing. And then I thought Katie was pretty amazing. Katie Day. I really enjoyed listening to her. Her music is really good.
Yeah, I agree. And I hope that Danny gets to play out in Chicago more, because it seems like Cubs fans really would enjoy what he's doing. And I hope more people get a chance to hear what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Katie kind of talked about doing shows out and around and everything. And so I hope that she does that, because I mean, obviously that By the Lakeside song is, yeah, it's just such a good song. And I think it has kind of a special place in the hearts of Cubs fans. And it kind of like hearing it, no matter if I'm in my car or if I play it at work or seeing her perform it there, like it just kind of like brought back these memories of the 2015 season. It was kind of like, I was like, had my own, like, you know, highlight reel going on as I listen. And it's just such a cool song, but I mean, all of her other music is really good. She's a great singer and did a lot of, she was without her band, so she did a lot of looping and everything, and it just sounded great. I had so much fun. I wish I would have known that all the good beer was on the other side of the bar. Then it would have been a perfect night.
I figured it out in time to have a few. Sorry.
But yeah, so let's just kind of talk about what we saw as far as Cubs baseball goes at spring training. I'll kind of start us off. I want to talk a second about John Lackey. We mentioned on the last episode that we saw him pitch in a minor league game, and I thought he looked really good against Single A Angels farmhands. And the Angels are notorious for having a terrible farm system, but he looked good.
Well, I was just going to say, like, that ended up being kind of one of the highlights of it, probably because you could sit so close. And yeah, just, I mean, him throwing six innings and just being that close to a major league pitcher, that is pretty effortless. I think that's one of Lackey's great qualities, why he's still pitching at this age. Is he able to really smooth mechanics and get a lot of velocity out of not a lot of effort. And that was amazing to see. You know, right behind the fence, right in the first row of the bleachers, something I've never experienced at Wrigley and probably won't in the near future, because I can't afford it. So yeah, to see that, and he was pitching to Montero, so at least those two, you're basically watching a major league game. So yeah, it was pretty amazing. And for me, that was like the top moment of spring training.
One thing that kind of stood out to me in watching that is you can just hear so much chatter going on the field. You can hear a lot going on. And I was kind of surprised at how silent Montero was. I don't think I heard him say anything the entire time.
The only thing I heard him say was he apologized to Lackey because he didn't get out quick enough, because I know that he works really fast and he was ready to roll with his warm-up pitchers and pitches, and Montero wasn't out there yet. And Montero was like, sorry. And then like he was like a subordinate father-son relationship or something. It was kind of strange.
Lackey's sitting in the driveway with the car started up, just sitting there waiting.
just that's what he did too. He just stared at you like your dad would if he was mad at you.
His mouth agape.
Just staring.
But I mean, just the effortlessness of Lackey's fast. But I mean, just seeing a major league pitcher up that close in the backfields was incredible, and the effortlessness of his gas was really apparent there. And I even heard a couple of minor league players just talk, you know, just in awe of how easy it looked for him to be such a consummate professional, or however you want to put it. But I was really impressed with that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, I was just going to say, too, like when he first started to kind of, I mean, he's obviously warmed up because he kind of just went in and started pitching, but he threw his, you know, before inning warm up pitches, and I kind of thought, oh, he's like 80% in that, the first few pitches. And it was like, oh, no, that's like max effort. So it was pretty incredible.
Yeah. Do you guys have any other thoughts from the backfields or maybe the futures game?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the futures game briefly because sometimes we think about, you know, like all these impact prospects that the Cubs have that have finally made it to the major league level. We sort of think of the farm system as being depleted a little bit. But watching the futures game, it made it pretty apparent to me that the Cubs do have a lot of impact players still in the system and still working their way up to eventually make an impact with the big league club. And so, you know, for example, Corey, you and I saw Ian Happ destroy, or, you know, at the futures game, Ian Happ destroyed a homer into the right field. Well, we were sitting in a tent out there earlier in the day, and we would have had a chance at getting that ball had we been where we were sitting, but he clobbered a home run to right field. And so that was just one performance that stood out in that futures game.
Yeah, we saw Carl Edwards Jr. Pitch. He started the game, looked pretty crisp in his one inning start. The other thing that kind of stood out to me is that was the first time that I've seen Almora not get to a ball that I thought he probably would get to. And I don't know if he just kind of got a bad read off of it. I mean, in no way is it like, oh, wait a minute here. I mean, he just didn't get to it. And it was like
a difficult ball.
Right. It was a ball I don't think anybody would have gotten, you know, any of the current, I don't think Fowler would have gotten to it. I'm not sure Hayward would have gotten to it. It's just,
right,
you kind of expect anything hit to the outfield to be within range for Almora.
That's a good point, though. I mean, it just seemed like he didn't get his normal jump on it, you know, like the Almora jump.
Right, yeah.
The first step or whatever you want to call it that he normally gets.
And if you haven't had the opportunity to see him, you know, play in person, and you hear people talk about just how much ground he covers or how good he is defensively, I'm not a scout. But to me, it seems like his speed isn't necessarily spectacular. It's just the read that he has off the ball. And that first step is just, I mean, he is just moving. It seems like he's moving when the ball is hit and he gets there. And he lays out for, you know, he definitely is laying out for balls that he'd have to reach for. And it's really impressive to watch him. And I think that's what just surprised me. And it was kind of funny because he clearly, I mean, we were sitting right behind home plate. Clearly he did not catch the ball, but he held up his glove. He like grabbed the ball with his hand, his right hand, put it in his glove, and then lifted up his glove like he caught it.
So I thought really tried to sell that one.
Yeah.
But, and there's like no one to sell it to, you know what I mean? It's like,
oh yeah, that was the funny thing.
The umpire showed up like we didn't have an umpire the first half inning. There was a coach calling balls and strikes. The first umpire shows up the bottom half of the first inning. The second umpire shows up the second inning, and I think the third umpire showed up the third inning. So yeah, we finally had a full, you know, like what would it amount to, a full crew in spring training by the third inning.
I also really enjoyed it that so they were playing the Rangers in this futures game. The Rangers had a coach out behind the pitcher, and I thought it was hilarious. Like on the first called strike, or no, the first ball, the Rangers dugout like just groaned and like we're like yelling and stuff. And I don't know. It's that kind of like fun. You just miss seeing that. You go to Major League Baseball games. And I think, you know, you talk about the things that we identify as making the 2015 season so fun. It just seems like at spring training, like everyone is having fun and the entire game is kind of fun. And it's like, it's really refreshing to see that and to be in that environment and to be around fans that are having fun and aren't, you know, that aren't really depressed that, for instance, that last game we went to, Andy, when the Cubs were up, what, 4-1 and lost 5-4 or whatever the heck it was. Like nobody really cared. And it's kind of nice mm-hmm. to be around people that are just enjoying baseball, both, you know, the sure. players on the field, the coaches, the fans. It's just, it's really refreshing.
And that jives well with the point I wanted to make is that if, you know, looking forward to potential spring training trips in the future, I'd like to think about maybe going to fewer games, like official games.
Yeah.
And just try to go to the backfields at every opportunity. And also just keep an eagle eye out for B games, future games, futures games, whatever. Because, you know, we got both times we've had a B game or a futures game, we've got to sit right behind home plate basically and really see the action up close. And you get to see the same thing at the backfields. And I think that's the coolest thing about spring training. The actual games are fun, of course, but I think the most interesting and rewarding opportunities are to see baseball played at, you know, in an intimate setting.
Yeah, and we didn't really get to spend as much time at the backfields this year. I was kind of like, because we had our families, I kind of thought like, oh, the backfields are probably not going to be very entertaining for them because you know, our wives and our kids are familiar with the big league team, but they're not quite so familiar with all the prospects and stuff like that. And it kind of changed the way that I have spent my time at the backfields in the past. You know, I mean, I'm never like a scout back there or anything like that. You know, I'm just like, oh, that was cool. I you know, I can't really like, oh, his you know, his off speed's a little bit slow, or you know, whatever, fastball's not quite up where it should be. I don't have an eye for that, so I'm never a scout. But I was really kind of like pointing out more of the, I guess, environmental things to my wife and my daughters, and kind of like, okay, this player is this, and this is, you know, what he might become, and this is what he's good at, or, oh, look at this. This is what they're doing over here. I wasn't sure if the wives and kids would enjoy the backfields as much, just because it's not Anthony Rizzo and it's not, you know, the big stadium and everything like that. But I think they enjoyed it more than the regular games. I mean, we went to go back there on Thursday and there was nothing going on at the backfields, but they all wanted, and my in-laws were there, they wanted to go back to the backfield. So mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of cool that like it, if you have kids, like that's almost like, it's a good place too, because they can like walk around and they get to see players like up close, and they get to like, yeah, walk up to John Lackey and have him sign their Cubs cape, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice too, because like, I mean, if it is a family affair, there's no pressure on the backfield. Like if you go, you might see something great. If you don't, you're not out anything. Hang right. out for an hour, watch a little bit of baseball. You didn't spend any money. Kids are crabby. Just go home. And that's harder to do with the games, even though it's spring training games. But yeah, I totally would be with you there if I had my kids, which I didn't. But I think that would have been great. Just like I said, just zero pressure, completely relaxed, and you get to see some really great baseball and kind of mingle with the players.
Yeah. One thing before we move on, we were on the topic of Al Mora, and I was kind of thinking about him today, and I really like what Al Mora could bring to this team later in the year in the way of defensive substitutions. And I think that it would be a pretty nifty defensive outfield if you could shift Fowler to left field, which I don't believe he's ever played, Al Mora to center field, and then Hayward in right field. I mean, that would be a really impressive mm-hmm. defensive outfield. And You know, I saw some pictures of Almora before we went to Mesa, and I thought he looked pretty big in the pictures. And he is much bigger than he was when I interviewed him a couple of years ago and stood on the field with him. I mean, he was about my size then, and he is much bigger now. And another thing that's kind of stood out too is I think Candelario has slimmed down a ton. Did you get that sense, Andy? It seems like he was more big bodied when we saw him with King big County a few bone. Years ago.
Yeah, a little bit leaner. I mean, he's still a big guy, yeah. But he looks like, you know, he's just kind of trimmed up a little bit.
Yeah, he's having a really good spring too. So it'll be interesting. I think Candelario could be one of those guys that we see if the Cubs need to go get starting pitching at the trade deadline and they would like to strengthen the rotation or in case of injury or something like that. I think Candelario is probably going to be one of the players that would most likely be moved in a trade, you know, dipping into the farm system. So hopefully he has a good year to build value, if nothing else. And I really wish I could have seen Dylan Cease. It just didn't happen while we were out there. But a lot of people out there, John Arguello from Cubs Den for one, a lot of people have been raving about Cease this spring, and I wish I could have had the opportunity to see him, but it just didn't happen. Let's see. Well, I guess I was on the way. I had a lot of time to think on the way home, guys. But, you know, it was really a pretty bland spring training. And I think that's a good thing. There weren't many position battles. The lineup is pretty much what it was once Hayward was signed, with the exception of Fowler coming back. And I really just wanted to see the Cubs get through spring training without injuries. And for the most part, they've done that. And knock on wood, they'll continue that for the next week. But you know, it was nice to see so much excitement about the Cubs out there in Mesa. I talked with some family members that live in Scottsdale, and they were talking about how the Cactus League is getting bigger and bigger every year. And they credited a lot of that this year to the Cubs. Attendance at these games, is huge. And, you know, the prices of tickets on the secondary market, those indicate that there's a lot of excitement about this team and really just in the Cactus League and spring training in general. And it was nice to see some of that excitement, like genuine excitement and not necessarily the pressure. I think the freakouts will come from fans if things start slow, but spring training, as we just said, it's such a relaxed environment for fans and players and everyone. It's just nice to see people enjoying baseball. And that's what I think we saw this year. Like it just, maybe in years past when I've gone there, there's been so much, a certain segment of the fan base has been very critical about the route that the front office took, that you always kind of had this, like, you know, imagine like a couple of years ago, if the Cubs would have like blown that lead, like we saw them blow on Friday, you know, you would have people around like, oh, this, you know, well, they traded Castro. What do you expect? You know, oh, where's that one pitcher? I can't think of his name. That's really good. And, you know, like crazy Cubs hat lady will be there. And it's just, it was just really nice to see kind of like almost like a confidence about people, and not like an arrogance or anything, but it's just like, yeah, this is spring training. I'm not going to get worked up about any of this stuff. You know, you're not going to get worked up about a loss, and you're not going to get worked up about anything. That this is a really good team that the front office has put together, and we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, it is good to see that contrast after. You know, I did still see a fair amount of the whole, like, I want the Cubs to be my pallbearers so they can let me down one last time shirts, yes, stuff, yeah, like that. But, right. You know, I agree that it didn't seem like it was as heavy as before. So, yeah, I think that it's so clear that this is such a good team on paper, we'll say, that it's hard to be too negative at this point.
Yeah, it was refreshing, I thought. And maybe the sun and good weather just kind of has that effect on those of us that traveled from the Midwest. Everybody's just in too good of a mood to complain about things. But there is an excitement about this team. And so I kind of want to talk about that for a second. You know, tickets were kind of hard to come by in Mesa, and I think that's going to continue all season at Wrigley and when the Cubs are on the road. So I wanted to give you a heads up that if you're looking for tickets to Cubs games this year, we've partnered with SeatGeek, which is a way to get tickets on the secondary market. There's some features on their site and the app that I really like more than the other ticket outlets, and we're not advertising for them yet, but I wanted to mention it on this episode because I really do think that it's a great way to get tickets. And the easiest way is to get it through the app. Just download the SeatGeek app, create your account, and then you tap on settings and tap on add a promo code and enter the promo code Ivy in all caps. That's IVY. And after you make your first purchase, SeatGeek will send you $20. And I went through and identified a few games that I'm interested in. And one feature that I really like is that it allows you to track those games and kind of watch the prices, which is cool. Did you guys have a chance to check out the app, and were there any features that stood out to you guys?
Yeah, well, I like the fact where you could look at, you know, an overview of the ballpark in question, you know, depending on what event you're looking at. And if you clicked on, you know, a particular section where you see there are tickets available, it shows you the view from that section. So I thought that was pretty cool, especially, you know, for people going to ballparks that, you know, like Wrigley, for example, that have obstructed views.
Yeah.
So that could be pretty useful.
Yeah. And another thing I like about it, too, is the price that it shows you is what you pay. They don't throw a bunch of fees on at the end, jacking up your price. But I don't know. There's a lot of features to it, and we'll go over them. But, you know, in future episodes, they're not paying us anything to mention them on this episode. But it's a service that I think that you will definitely want to be looking at this season if you're interested in going to Cubs game and you didn't buy the tickets early. But, yeah, I just wanted to mention it because I was looking at it today because there's a game that I want to go to. And the prices, it's not till July. And I've noticed that just in the last week that the tickets have gone down a little bit on them. So I'm probably going to jump on them. But
yeah, and from what I did patrol around, the prices seem like not as crazy as maybe you go to some of the other sites and you're like, whoa, people are jacking up their prices just to make a bunch of money. So I don't know who these people are selling them, but yeah, the prices seem reasonable, and it also sort of organizes by how good of a deal it is, I assume, based on, you know, what face value is. And so it kind of helps you if you're not familiar with what a seat normally costs, that you can kind of narrow down where to sit based on the deal if you're cheap like I am.
Right.
Yeah. And it looks like you can go to opening day, you know, for less than a Cubs spring training ticket. So that's pretty cool. But I will say, you know, it's like an aggregate apparently of all different ticket sites, I guess.
Yeah.
And so you're most likely to find the best price, you know, by this site. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yep. Like I said, we'll get into more of that later. But if there's an early season game that you want to go to and you want to get your tickets squared away quickly, you know, here in the next week or so, definitely check it out. And again, use that promo code IVY. You have to input it there in your settings or your profile or whatever. But as far as spring training goes, is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about? Anything that you took away from our trip to Mesa?
I think I got it covered.
Yeah, I don't have anything major other than just to reiterate how much fun it was and, you know, how glad I am I, you know, pulled the trigger and didn't have to hear "Where's Bert?" the whole time while you guys were out there having fun without me.
Yeah, I'm glad you were there. It was kind of nice. This was the first year that all three of us were able to go. So it was definitely a lot of fun. So, Andy, we've been doing the Rube Waddell stories of the week. Do you have a Rube Waddell story for us this week? And for somebody finding the podcast, can you quickly remind us who Rube Waddell is?
Sure. Rube Waddell was an amazing pitcher at the turn of the century who had the reputation of being fairly so slow-witted, but a great pitcher, you know, at the same time. A guy that was whose skill level was on par with Cy Young, for example. This one's pretty awesome. In one game, Rube Waddell was actually batting, and the catcher threw to second base to try to pick off the runner, but overthrew the ball. And so the runner came around to try to score. And with the throw home, Waddell actually swung and hit the ball back into play. He actually made contact with the relay throw and hit it back into play. He was subsequently called out for interference. But he was asked for an explanation for the mistake. And his quotation was, "They'd been feeding me curves all afternoon, and this was the first straight ball I'd looked at."
Oh, man.
I love the laugh cough.
Oh, doesn't take much right now. Oh, man. Jeez. Old Rube. How many more of these stories do you have?
Old Rube.
Oh, please tell me you have like an unlimited supply of these stories.
Oh, yeah, there's pretty much an unlimited supply.
All right. Do you guys have any internet muscle flexes this week?
I have one historical muscle flex.
Oh, wow.
And I have a quick one, yeah.
Okay. Well, Andy, how about you go last? I'll go first, and then Kurt, you can go. So mine, actually, my mom sent me this one while I was on the road. So it was kind of a nice little, you know, actually, she sent this while we were driving through the blizzard, I believe. So it was kind of a nice little pick me up. So it's a comment from, I believe it's the Cubs Facebook. It's like an NPR article about the Cubs. The title of the article is Chicago Cubs Cuddle Actual Cubs at Training Camp. So it was, you know, when they had the Cubs there or whatever. And this person says, no, this is bad. What happens when what happens to them when they grow up? Are they drugged like most mascots to be docile, evil, and short-sighted cruelty? So this person apparently thinks that, like, Clark is a real bear.
they're gonna keep these little bears around. Right, they're just gonna hang out on the field.
They grew up to wear no pants.
Just a jersey.
So I don't know. Maybe it's like, you know, maybe it's a it's because it's an NPR article, maybe it's somebody that isn't quite familiar with things. I don't know. I don't know, but I'm fairly certain those Cubs returned to, I don't know, whatever the cage they came from.
They're drugged elsewhere, not at Wrigley. Right,
right. Oh, man. All right, go ahead, Gert.
All right, yeah, so mine, this is kind of a rare one, actually, because it comes from the actual Cubs Instagram, from the Cubs. And it's a picture of Anthony Rizzo, and it says, Ariz44, which is his handle, makes a fan's day prior to today's game and says, "Let's go." But he's actually shaking hands with Mike Trout. And it's so hilarious. It's pretty awesome. I didn't want to like read all the comments, but if you go to that one on Instagram and then read everyone's comments, how great, like, everyone tearing into Trout.
Oh, I figured it'd be people like acting like the Cubs didn't know who he was or something.
I didn't see any of those. I think most people got the humor and went along with it. That's pretty good. It's pretty funny to see like the actual, you know, named Instagram making a joke.
That's good. Good job. Good job,
Cubs. I wonder if the Angels, Angels account responded to it, because that's hilarious.
I don't, I follow the Angels Instagram account, and I don't think they have as much like character. Not character. That's a goofy thing to say. I don't think they have as much personality. There we go.
Yeah, that's probably better.
they drunk post to Instagram all the time. They don't have very much character. All right, go ahead, Andy.
Well, mine was actually, I found it on an article dealing with Kerry Wood's blister.
Oh, wow. You went way back.
That's old school.
An article by our buddy Paul Sullivan on Kerry Wood's blister. Ugh. Of course, a fan had some thoughts about Cubs pitchers having blisters, as I'm sure some people have about Arrieta. But this fan says, this has to stop. I would tell him to get his rear end out there before I cut him off the team. Blister on the finger? Who cares? Get out there and pitch. I'm so sick of him and Mark Pryor while he was a Cub. This is the reason why I got sick of the Cubs to begin with. Either it's I have discomfort or my arm hurts. Guess what? You throw the ball. Your arm hurt will hurt at times. Get over it. So if your arm hurts, just get over it.
Well, what you don't know is this commenter has never been sick to work. Never called in sick to work, Andy.
Yeah. Perfect attendance. Get over it. Rub some dirt on it. Guess what? When you pitch, sometimes your arm hurts.
Put some Tussin on it.
When you're an insurance adjuster, sometimes your brain hurts.
Oh, man. Thanks for going into the Wayback Machine there, Andy. We should do that more often.
We have to start doing that some more.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, we definitely like think of the muscle flexes we could find on like Soriano and yeah, back to Mark Pryor and oh man. I bet there's some good stuff back there.
It's a wealth of flexes.
Yep. All right. Well, that does it for this episode. On Sunday night, we will be recording our season prediction episode. So send in the stats or events that you would like us to predict. You can email them to Corey@ivmv.com. Again, we'd love it if you would tell your friends that are Cubs fans about our podcast. And if you take 3 minutes to leave us a review in iTunes, your name will be entered into a drawing for either an IVMV shirt or a pint glass, whichever you choose. This episode was brought to you by all 127 of our Patreon supporters. We'd like to thank all of you that support our podcast. And those that support at the associate producer levels are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Andrew Gross, Tim Marr, Ryan Winkle, Tony Tharp, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. We've had a few people join the Patreon campaign recently, John Collins in North Carolina, Josh Rubenstein in California, and Dan Meyer in North Carolina. Patreon helps us tremendously. If you feel that you're getting value out of this podcast, you can help us keep things going by pledging as little as $1 a month, and there are perks at every level. Check it all out at patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So thank you for listening, and until Sunday evening, go Cubs!